Hello, hello, hello. This is Three Dudes Nudes, and this is Josh.
And I am Ben.
And I'm Philip over here, just chilling.
All right, the first item of the evening is Obama email. And this teenager actually sent an email to Obama while he was, I believe, drunk. And this teenager actually lives in the UK, so it's completely legal for him to be drunk. So no comments about that. Well, he sends this email with a lot of obscenities and whatnot to Obama. And he is now banned from entering the United States based on that email. This is, I believe, quite stupid. Because I believe Obama gets a lot of threatening emails all the time.
Well, how did he get Obama's email?
Well, that he just sent it to president at, whitehouse.com or something like that.
And that goes directly to Obama.
It goes into his mailbox, not his personal email, his professional email.
Someone probably filtered through and brought it to his attention that he got this email. And, it's kind of like an overreaction of epic proportions, I believe.
Well, yeah. I don't know about the UK, but, over here you have the freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. And, if I want to bash President Obama, I can, and he's not going to ban me from the U.S.
Well, mostly because you're here, and he would have to deport you for some other reason.
I mean, did he threaten to kill President Obama?
As far as I understand, it's just a lot of threatening basic, what a drunk person would threaten to somebody.
Like, I'll come over to your house, and I'll beat you with a pole in your front yard in front of your neighbors.
Right.
Something probably similar to that.
And they know he was, in the email, you can't really say he was drunk, but after an investigation, it was like, well, this guy's, wasted, so you shouldn't even pay any attention to that email whatsoever.
I wish we could actually see this email, because I'd like to see what he actually said.
Yeah, one thing is, he doesn't even remember what he said, so, doesn't...
It's probably not going to be anything we'll ever see, because, it may be something very simple and stupid, and they're just blowing it crazily.
Oh, yeah, like... typical politicians.
Yeah, so I believe the White House should actually send out an apology and invite the kid over for a dinner or something.
Yeah, for a beer, like that plumber guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like, if I sent a threatening text message or a drunken, crazy, abusive text message to one of my, previous girlfriends, and hell, I probably wouldn't have dated many people after high school.
Or get banned from dating altogether.
Altogether, period.
Of course, that's just a process and not a location.
Well, that's true. I was just saying, it's just stupid.
But, what right does the U.S. have of banning this kid from coming over here?
They have nothing to gain from this. It just makes them look bad.
Yeah, it completely makes them look bad.
You got anything else to say, Philip?
I don't believe I have anything else. I think we all agree that this just makes us look stupid.
Yeah, this is completely dumb.
So, as a closure on this item, we suggest that the White House and probably Obama send a personal apology to this kid.
Yeah.
And let's go with an unban.
Unban.
Yes, unban.
Do not ban this kid from the United States.
Welcome him.
All right, our next news story, I know y'all have all heard about the acid attack victim. Apparently, this lady says she was getting out of her car, and a woman approached her with what she thought was a cup of water. And she said she just stopped abruptly and looked at me and threw it in my face. Well, it turned out to be a powerful acid that left the 41-year-old mother with 5 severe burns on her face, neck, and arms. The violent attack is alarmingly similar to an incident in Vancouver, Washington, just days earlier. Who in their right mind would throw acid in someone's face?
Okay. No one, really. I mean, I would have to say that you'd have to definitely be outside of your right mind. Well, unless you're an incredibly angry person. Well, let's say normal mind, because that might be normal for them, but not for
a normal person,
right?
Right. Well, throwing acid at somebody's face, it's probably because of it that they want something out of it. It's like, hey, I hate you because you look awesome. Right, you know, a lot of hate and anger.
Yeah.
But as I understand it, it was self-inflicted, so...
Well, yeah, later on, you know, they say that she did it herself. I don't recall why she did it herself, but, I mean, that's just messed up. If you try to hurt yourself to get TV attention.
Yes, a bad idea to do that. I mean, think about all the scarring you're going to have afterwards.
But man, she probably, like we were saying before, any person who'd be willing to do this to another person isn't in their right mind, right? Well, someone who is willing to do it to themselves definitely isn't in their right mind or in a proper state of sanity. It could be a cry for help for some more serious issues underlying in this woman's, you know, consciousness. So we need to keep a watch on this lady.
You know what? She probably needs those mushrooms we mentioned last week.
Yeah. Yeah, she needs some anxiety taken away from her.
Yeah, so...
I think this is horribly stupid.
I think it's stupid as well. Of course, you know, we don't think like that because we're not her.
Exactly.
You know, who knows what this woman was thinking? She may have been having lots of home trouble with all of her children or something and just needed some attention.
She may have lost a puppy or something. Not the river puppies.
No, let's not go there.
But throughout the whole news story, they never mentioned what kind of acid it was.
I believe
phosphoric, maybe.
It's
that's very common.
It appears that the burn surgeon who operated on the lady said that the substance thrown in her face was an acid as strong as hydrochloric or sulfuric acid. So we need to find out where she got her hands on this stuff for one thing.
Yeah,
well, that's sulfuric acid you can get fairly easily. Hydrochloric is, you know, more difficult to get hold of because there's watches on that.
Right, okay. So sulfuric acid is probably the more likely culprit there.
Yeah.
How easy is it to obtain sulfuric acid exactly?
I probably shouldn't mention this. So.
Well, you can't go to your local Home Depot and get it.
Right.
But there are places that you can order online for it, for chemical supplies, for like a chemistry lab or something.
I know you can pretty much get hydrochloric acid at like at an auto parts store or something like that.
And then you got sulfuric acid actually in the batteries if you wanted to get that.
Yeah, so
that'd take a lot of batteries.
That would take quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of planning. It's probably not what happened.
So it says she jumped in the shower to wash it off. Can that work like that?
Yes, but it's not very effective because the water just dilutes it to
I mean, it doesn't remove it from the skin.
What you want to do is actually put a base on it, like baking soda or something, and actually neutralize it completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get a little running with it, maybe, depending on its concentration, and she may have made the situation worse in that particular instance.
But I just don't understand. I mean, could you imagine having acid thrown in your face?
Well, I don't think I could imagine that, especially if I got any in my eyes.
I could probably imagine that from, like, another person. Be like, hey, here's acid. What the hell?
I mean, it's like burning yourself, like setting yourself on fire.
Yeah. Right. That sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah.
I've sprayed myself in the face with pepper spray by accident before, and that was an incredibly painful experience. But you know, it could have been the same, maybe even worse. And I just couldn't imagine worse, man, because I was crying my face off.
So, bottom line, this lady needs psychiatric evaluations because something is wrong in her head to make herself throw acid on herself. For what appears to be simply TV attention.
Yes, definitely need help.
That's horrible.
Philip, say something.
Okay, we're going to go on to a story on joystick.com. There's an AOL blog site. They're talking about a new decision out of the Ninth Circuit Court, or the Ninth Circus, as some people lovingly call them. And it's potentially bad news for anyone reselling anything that has an end user licensing agreement.
Such as?
Windows. Such as, let's say, for example, in the example in the case, it was AutoCAD. A fellow bought some copies of AutoCAD from a yard sale, and they were unopened copies. No one had used the licenses, and he put them for sale on eBay. Well, Autodesk went ahead and pulled that down and pretty much told him he couldn't sell it. So he decided that he was going to sue Autodesk because, you know, he bought the software. So if you own it, you have the right to sell it. Well, Autodesk won the court case. And they basically said that in the end-user licensing agreement that it was a licensing, that he was licensed the use of the software. He technically didn't own it, so he had no right to sell it. And in the particular case of Joystick, is they're saying that basically you could slap an end-user license agreement into a video game, since it's a piece of software, essentially, and you would never own the game. So you'd have no right to take it to GameStop and trade it in for other games. And GameStop wouldn't be allowed to sell you used games because they wouldn't own them. This is ludicrous.
I mean, that's a good point because, you know, GameStop all the time is taking games and reselling them. And if this were the case for gaming, you know, GameStop and other places like that would completely go out of business.
Right, because the largest percentage of GameStop's income is from used games. So they don't make very much on brand new games.
Yeah.
This would probably actually lead to more piracy anyway, because who wants to just license a game?
Right. One of the most popular pieces of software that's licensed is actually Microsoft Windows. And it's also one of the most pirated pieces of software out there. If I don't have the ability to resell a $500 piece of software when I'm done using it, why am I going to want to, you know, why would I do that?
And what's weird is in this case, you know, the software wasn't used yet. You know, it was unopened.
Right. So technically no one had read the end user license agreement, and if no one reads it, then are you technically consenting to it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a lot like quantum physics and Schrodinger's cat. Is the cat alive or dead in the box?
Right. So if no one ever read it, it still exists because it's in there, but can you really call it...
Does it actually apply?
Is it a contract if you didn't actually read it?
Yeah.
This is crazy because I use Autodesk software every day at my work, you know, and technically it's not a purchased copy, but I don't know what I would do without it if Autodesk came to me and said, hey, you're going to have to give us that back, and here are your court costs.
Right, because you would certainly be paying the court costs.
Yes. I don't agree with this at all.
Yeah.
And the kicker is that he did not use it. It was in the box, brand new, never used. He just didn't use it and decided to sell it.
Another particularly frightening aspect of this case is that the first sale doctrine, which is what says that you have the right, if you own something, you have the right to first sale, which means if I bought a car, I have the first right to sell that car in my front yard at a yard sale if I want to, right? And I take all the money because it's mine, because I paid for it. Well, this particular doctrine allows libraries to lend you books, right? So you go to a library and you check out a book, you're technically breaking the law. Now the libraries are breaking the law, letting you borrow these books.
Yeah.
Right? And I just don't think the government's going to let this hold up, because
because it happens all the time with all types of goods.
Right. So it's gonna be appealed. I'm absolutely sure it will be appealed. They're gonna take it higher, And we're going to see something different come out of this. But if this is upheld, this is absolutely frightening. This will upturn the used software industry completely.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of cases like this that have been appealed and never actually been any good, really. Yeah, the DCMA, I mean, they appealed that, especially for the DVD copying. You own a DVD, you can't copy it anymore.
Right. Because you're circumventing copy protection to own it, and that's not legal.
Well, how about companies like Netflix or something, you know, where you get a DVD in the mail that's not yours, but yet you borrow it from that company? Technically, that's against the law, right?
Well, they do have special rights privileges for that kind of stuff. Like, the rental industry has been around for a while, and they have special licenses that allow a company like Netflix rent a movie, or Blockbuster, or, you know, wherever you get your movies from, Redbox, you know. So, we just need to keep our eyes on these people, because they're coming up with some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Well, as long as there's a little loopholes about pretty much anything, there's going to be stuff like that. All right, this next story is actually about a boy being suspended from school for crying. In Texas, I believe it's Trophy Club, Texas, the 16-year-old boy was suspended for 3 days for having bloodshot eyes. Now, I can understand that that the administration would assume that he was on something at the time because of his bloodshot eyes, but they didn't investigate any further. And if they would have, they would have found out that his father was murdered that earlier Sunday, being stabbed to death. And this kid decided to go to school because he wanted to. And now he's suspended for 3 days.
And they made him take a drug test.
Exactly, which the parents are actually supposed to handle, not the school administration.
Okay, I think they should have looked into this a little bit. I mean, because seriously, if your eyes are bloodshot and you've been crying, you can pretty much, I mean, in this particular case, you can go, hey, my father was murdered. You know, look that shit up, okay? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to see that somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder if the kid mentioned that when they initially called him into the principal's office. But, I mean, you know, a lot of kids these days are trying a lot of things, you know, and I don't blame the school for maybe investigating that he had bloodshot eyes, but come on, I mean, should the boy even have been at school if his father was murdered?
Well, that was his decision. He actually requested that he wants to go to school when that happened, so and that was his decision on that. I believe that's perfectly fine based on his decision, but that's a personal thing.
I like some of these comments that are down here on this this story. The second comment, to be fair, being stricken with overwhelming grief is probably more of an impairment in school than being a little high.
Yeah.
I can totally agree with that. Never having been high in school, but, you know, I've been grief-stricken before. And it does suck.
Yeah, just a bit.
I think this school reacted irresponsibly, and I think they should be reprimanded and should formally apologize.
Maybe $50 to the kid, saying we're sorry. Here's $50. Enjoy yourself.
here's a list of intoxicating causes of bloodshot, non-intoxicating causes of bloodshot eyes. They have all kinds of chronic dry eye, chemical exposure, glaucoma, herpes, and there's just a huge, long list of things that could cause, you know, bloodshot eyes rather than smoking pot. And they inspect it, you know, they looked for none of these and automatically assumed that he was high.
It would be really interesting to see if this kid has any previous history of something like that, because if he does, then that would more make their case. You know, because a lot of people go whining to the media as soon as something... I'm not saying that this is the case with this kid, but, you know, a little previous history goes a long way in determining something like that. But, you know, that would be something that they should have put, you know, put in this news story.
And it says in here, the boy's mother says she's trying to get the district to remove the suspension from his permanent record. Administrators told her she must go through the formal appeals process for that to happen. Come on, man.
They screwed up. Fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Fix it. Or my kids are never going to go to that damn school, wherever it is.
Yeah.
In Texas.
It just goes to show you, you know, how idiotic some of these schools' administration is.
Oh, yeah. I remember my days in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, our administration was brilliant.
All right, so we're going to go on to the next story. Now, this one is quite controversial, especially on my views on it. The title reads, Should Gay Fans Appear on Stadium Kiss Cam? Basically, in St. Louis, Missouri, the Stadium Kiss Cam is supposed to give sports fans a chuckle. But members of gay and lesbian groups say that this will be no laughing matter if they're left out. The gay rights group Pride St. Louis has an event planned at Busch Stadium this weekend with hundreds of members attending. They want to see a same-sex couple on the Kiss Cam. Now, my view on it is when I'm at a baseball game, I do not want to see two dudes kissing. What gays and lesbians do in their own time is their prerogative, but you shouldn't go out of your way to make it to where everybody else sees it. I don't even like the fact that you get to see other couples kiss on a kiss cam. So the kiss cam in general should just be taken away.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Let's say you're walking through the mall, and there's two fellows on a bench. Let's say you're in an outdoor mall, and they're sitting on a bench, and they're just kissing all over each other, and just, I mean, they're really into each other, and they genuinely love each other. And you're walking by that because, I mean, you have to because, you know, the Abercrombie and Fitch is right on the other side of the buckle. And
yeah, I don't shop there.
Okay.
You're going to the food court.
Let's say you're... Yeah.
I'm just walking through and there's no way around it.
Right, no way around it. So how do you feel about that particular situation?
I don't think that's good either because I wouldn't want to see a male and female couple just absolutely making out in a public place.
Okay, well, let's say they're not absolutely making out. They just kiss as you're walking by.
That would gross me out.
Well, okay, I understand it grossing you out, but do you think that they should be allowed to do that?
Yes. They just shouldn't do it around me. I don't know. I don't know why this upsets me so much, but it's not the fact that they're kissing. It's not the fact that they want to get on the kiss cam. It's the fact that all these people, hundreds of members, are getting together to make this a point.
Okay, so you're saying the problem is that they have such big mouths about the issue.
Yes, and it's always about gay rights. Gays should do this. Gays should do that. I mean, yes, they should be able to be married just for the legal standpoint. But, I mean, they just make such a big deal about how they're repressed and how they can't be in the spotlight. And I don't know. I just think they should just keep to themselves like every other couple does and be fine with it.
So you're asking them to be normal, like just normal people as the general public?
Yes.
So you're saying stop being so loud about being
gay?
Yes,
stop being so flamboyant.
Well, I mean, there are gay people like that. Of course, we know that. But yeah, I mean, even two females together that are just that screaming about that particular issue is just it. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well that, like, oh, we can't have the attention of 5 seconds on this video screen in front of all these people. You know, just like everybody else has.
Yeah, so we're being repressed.
Right, which is not necessarily the case.
It's actually at the discretion of the person controlling the cam.
Yeah.
So he's a homophobe. The guy who runs the kiss cam is a homophobe.
Well, that's what they're thinking, yeah.
Oh, that's him. That's all. And you have to take up with management on that one. It's like, well, we don't believe we're having enough exposure from the kiss cam.
And, I mean, how does a guy running a camera know if two dudes sitting next to each other are gay? I mean, what
especially
if you
game.
Sitting, what if me and you were sitting in the Cardinals game, watching them play, sitting next to each other, and then the kiss cam gets right on us? We're not gay, so I'm not going to kiss you. So we just disappointed everybody in the stadium, apparently.
Well, I don't know if we disappointed everyone, because there are tons of people like you out there who don't want to see it. You know, so
I just make a mockery of it.
How are you going to know that they're gay?
Well, if they're already kissing, right?
Yeah.
The dude at the kiss cam, he finds couples. Yeah. So, say they're two dudes sitting there holding hands.
Yeah, potential for kissing.
I mean, I've done that on a bet before, but never because I was gay.
Not with me, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I don't even remember who that was with. I was probably drunk.
I have no idea what he's talking about, really.
I think they should be... I think if it will... I've got nothing against gay people, but if it will stick a feather in their hat and make them happy, go for it.
Well, the thing is, you can't make everybody happy. It's impossible.
I mean, it's... This just disgusts me. Everything about it.
I'm sorry that it disgusts you.
Because like one big issue that I've always had with gay people is, like, a dude that is gay wants to just absolutely go wild and act flamboyantly gay and wear women's clothing and have a limp wrist and all this stuff. Why not just be your typical guy and you just so happen to be gay? You don't have to look like a girl.
Well,
you don't have to act like a girl.
Well, some gay people feel like they're trapped in a man's body and they're actually women. That's more of a transgender issue as opposed to, you know, actually being gay.
Plus, you know, the clothes might make it feel good or something.
Okay, well, I've said enough on this. I think I might have pissed some people off.
I think we can agree to disagree on this particular occasion.
Just have a gay cam. That's all you need.
And call it the gay cam. Don't call it the kiss cam. Call it the gay cam, right? So then he just picks out gay couples. And
and what kind of gay people like sporting events?
Well, you know, really, really mannish women. So let's say we go... And if it's the gay kiss cam, it says the gay kiss cam. And you don't want to see gay people kissing. So when the screen comes up with the gay kiss cam, you just look away.
Go get a hot dog or something.
Right? Or the kiss cam can say presumably gay couple. Right?
Right. And we believe these are gays.
Right. So then you just
sorry
look
about
away.
That.
Just look away.
All right. So next subject.
Don't shoot us, please.
All right. So we're going to talk about a good friend of mine who started Facebook.
By friend, we mean douche.
By friend, we mean absolute douche. So a while back, it came to light that Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, had sent some text messages to a friend of his that just had some really shitty stuff going on in it. Let me give you an example. These are direct quotes. Zuckerberg, yeah, so if you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, and SNS, which stands for Social Security numbers. The friend says, what? How did you manage that one? Zuckerberg, people just submitted it. I don't know why. They, in quotes, trust me. Dumb fucks.
Shouldn't it be SSN?
It should be SSN, but everybody knows how, you know, we type and text message and shit like that.
So Zuckerberg's an idiot.
Yeah.
So this was while he was creating Facebook or after it was already created?
This is in the very beginning stages of Facebook, I believe, when it was limited to just Harvard, just their local network.
I think it was just starting to get big then, so it was like 2004 or something like that. So.
Yeah, and then there's this other one. The friend says, so have you decided what you're going to do about the websites? Zuckerberg, yeah, I'm going to fuck them. Probably in the year, but then he corrects himself, ear.
He did both, I believe.
He is going to fuck them in the ear this year.
So does he still own Facebook?
He still is a primary shareholder of Facebook, is he not?
Yeah, I believe so. I think he may be the CEO, but then again, I don't follow Facebook as much as I used to because all these IMs came out and really irritated me.
Yeah, what a douchebag. I mean, you get on Facebook and you give them all of your personal information.
Which I don't, really.
Right, I just make shit up. But, you know, a lot of people get on there and they give all their personal information out so their friends can get in touch with them and, you know, and talk to them anyway or get in touch with them or send them mail and that kind of stuff.
It also says in here that his business cards reportedly once read, "I'm CEO, bitch."
Wow.
What a dickhead.
That is absolute college douchebaggery.
That's a college douchebag with arrogance on top.
Yeah.
He should have been shot in the foot.
So, I mean, this guy's rolling in dough. I mean, he created a very useful website. I mean, you know, you can get in touch with friends that you haven't seen in a long time, you know, and through this website, you can do that. You don't have to be a dick because you have all this money and you know everyone and everybody's using your site.
He needs to grow some balls, actually.
Well, I think his balls are too big for his head.
Oh, that's a good possibility.
Yeah, he needs to be a professional.
Yeah, that's very douchebaggish, and it kind of makes me want to cancel my Facebook account.
Yeah, I've been working on that for a while, but I can't find any substitutes just yet.
Well, we're waiting on that one. I believe it's Diaspora. They just released the code for Diaspora, so we should be looking for that sometime soon.
Yeah. The movie, The Social Network, which is basically about Facebook, really doesn't shine a good light on Zuckerberg, which I believe is probably a true story.
Yeah, and it opens in American theaters on October 1st, so you might want to go check that one out.
Actually, don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
But then again, if you want to watch it, you're okay. It's okay to watch it. Just make sure you post something horribly wrong.
I mean, how? Like, I don't give away my personal information on Facebook. Isn't it an option?
It is an option, but it's very buried.
It is not by default, okay?
Yeah, by default, you're giving away every bit of personal information that you have. And if you play games, you're giving that information over to the third-party developers who develop those games.
Well, like, my social security number isn't on there.
Well, of course.
My address isn't on there.
Well, being on the Harvard network, you can actually, once you have an email, you can kind of get everything else. My guess is he probably hacked something.
No, from what it looks like in these text messages that he sent, is that he may have had that as an option to put that in the original Facebook.
Who in their right mind would do that?
Apparently he...
Well, that's why he calls them dumb fucks, yeah. Right? You know, because nobody's really going to do this. But seriously, I mean... Someone trusted you with that information, you put out there saying that you're not going to do anything with it, most likely, because if somebody says, put your social security number in here and I'm going to steal shit from you, I'm pretty much going to go, fuck you and close the page.
I like how on this website, in on the right-hand side, you have an option to share the story on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome, isn't it?
I've already shared this story multiple times on Facebook.
It looks like this has been shared
so
1,000 times.
1,111 other people.
Yeah. And tweeted.
Ooh, tweeting.
I don't understand tweet.
It can be useful sometimes.
It can be incredibly useful, but, you know, that's something we could talk about at a later time when Twitter comes up on the radar.
Yeah.
Which probably would be pretty soon.
So you think the creator of Twitter thinks everybody else is stupid?
It's a possibility, but I don't think he's as bad as Zuckerberg.
You know, there's some people that say that he might have a mild form of Asperger's, right?
I don't care.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's the last story we got for the day. And we're going to let Josh close it on out here.
Well, thanks for listening, and see us next time. Well, actually, hear us next time.
Yeah, we don't have a drink commercial for you this time, because we're all not drinking this time.
Down with Zuckerberg.
Down with the Facebook Fuck Facebook.
Zuckerberg's a douche.
Out.